It's the Nerdcast, Season 5, Episode 7.
This is Austin St. John, Jason, the original Red Ranger, and you are listening to the Nerdcast.
All right, guys, it's another fun and exciting episode of Nerdcast. I can say fun and exciting up front because when I've done it in the past, we've delivered.
No, I mean, all right. No, that's our thing. That's what we do. I mean, usually it's fun and exciting because we make fun of you, but
no, or Aaron. Tyler picks pretty hard on Aaron too. So, anyways, Aaron, Adam, Tyler, and myself are here. I don't know. Bob was unable to join us tonight, but we have 4 out of 5. So
sad face.
Four out of five. That'll get you. I mean, it's passing.
Hall of Fame in Major League Baseball.
That's true. Four out of five. You're doing pretty darn good. Awesome. So exciting weekend that just passed. Huge, huge box office weekend. Plenty of geeky and nerdy things to talk about. But right before we started recording, Tyler was about to go into one, and I was like, hold that thought, because we want to hear about it while we're recording. So, Tyler, why don't you share with us your thought?
So, I mean, I was just going to open on the front end with Tyler's 2-0 in the Fantasy Movie League.
Now, no, that's not where you were going to open.
No, I went and saw Straight Outta Compton last night. I was going to go see Man from U.N.C.L.E., but they didn't have a late enough showing. So I went and saw Straight Outta Compton, and it was good. I don't know. It's tough to describe. I mean, it's a biopic, and it's one of those things where they're condensing a lot of stuff, and they're trying to tell a lot of stories at one time, and I don't think they do all of them justice. Like a lot of the stuff that you would really want to go deeper into, they kind of skim the surface on.
Like Dr. Dre punching women out?
I mean, there's none of that, but they do make a reference to the origin of the line from Friday by Felicia. That's a little bit funny and a little bit it was fun. And there's a lot of things they do in the movie that are very clearly like geared towards someone who is aware of, you know, the West Coast rap scene of the late '80s, early '90s. Cause they make a lot of references or mention people or show people. And if you aren't on top of it, you would literally have no idea what they're talking about, like the things that they're sort of trying to reference. But a lot of fun stuff. And then they throw in a lot of little, I don't know, with like cameo kind of things of like a guy playing Snoop Dogg, a guy playing Tupac in like one scene, a reference to like Bone Thugs and Harmony, like a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But it was fun. The acting is really solid. Like the guy that plays Dre, the guy that plays Eazy-E, they both put in amazing performances. And then
They look the part too. They really look.
They do. And then Ice Cube's son plays Ice Cube. O'Shea Jackson Jr. plays Ice Cube and looks and sounds exactly like his dad.
Crazy mother from Compton. Yeah.
And it's, I'm glad I went and saw it, but it's not, I mean, it's a good movie. It's not a great movie.
Fun fact, there are no remaining movie theaters in Compton. So Straight Outta Compton is not being shown in Compton, unfortunately. However, it is being shown. It is being shown in a lot of other places because it did win the box office. Early reports, I think, were around 56 is what we shared on our movie pass and everything too. But by Monday night, they actually concluded it hit 60 million for the opening weekend, which was well ahead of what they compared it to, 8 Mile or Notorious, more recent, biopic for Notorious, 8 Mile. Depends how you define biopic.
It's a biopic.
But
the details were changed.
Wrote it, says that it's not, then
then he's a liar, and he wrote about somebody's life.
What's
and
the
every time got I, that guy to play him?
Every time I think of 8 Mile, though, I think of Dave Chappelle doing the comedy one. So,
what was that? I don't remember it.
He did. They did a like an 8 Mile skit on the Chappelle Show, where they are doing like a comedy like rap battle basically instead of rap, and he was too nervous to do it, so like he was just all like he would be all just busting jokes, and then as soon as it was time to perform he got really nervous and frozen. So pretty
vomit
funny,
on but, his vomit on his jacket already.
Yeah. Yep. So it was mom's spaghetti. So anyways, I will give I don't know, like rap, you go back to the Straight Outta Compton time, that period of rap is great music. More recent rap not so much, but Eminem has had a few pretty solid ones, and that 8 Mile song is fairly catchy. I don't care who you are.
It's catchy.
I would say he's had more than a couple. He makes all of the money basically whenever he does anything. So he's doing okay. Yeah.
He's doing okay.
He writes good music. I mean, I wouldn't say good all the time, but he knows how to make things that people enjoy.
Anyways, a lot of his music, I know it's popular, but it was just crappy music. Like some of his early stuff, like, hey, I'm just going to say weird, crazy stuff. But then there are those songs where he actually puts effort into it more, and they actually turn out to be good rap songs. I don't know. Tyler's laughing at me. But anyways, I don't know what it takes to write a rap song. Never done it before. So moving on, straight out of Compton, but Man from Uncle.
Totally different meaning.
Hey,
I'd totally watch Straight Out of Uncle.
Straight Out of Uncle. Well, it depends what kind of movie it is, but Man from Uncle was the other big one this weekend, and it actually, or the other new one. I shouldn't say big anymore because it didn't really do as well as thought. Didn't even pass Mission Impossible, so finished number 3 in the box office. And even our own team, I think Laura Griffith was the one who reviewed it. Said it had its moments, but it came up short, was too cheesy. And to be honest, that's what I heard overall. I know none of us saw it, but we are all interested. Any thoughts?
I'll talk since Tyler's muted. Just checking out some of the reviews, it looked like, it looked like Guy Ritchie wasn't sure what he wanted to do. He plays the tongue-in-cheek stuff pretty good, and he's a pretty funny guy. You watch, you know, Rock and Rolla. It's got some serious overtones, but has some good comedy in there as well. And it seemed like he got kind of caught in between wanting to do funnier and more serious, or, you know, I guess not more serious, but less catchy. I don't know.
I don't know. It seemed like it didn't go. I felt like he was trying to play it too safe compared to some of his traditional movies of that style. Like, he doesn't want to, is what I'm picking up from reviews. Of course, like I said, I haven't seen it yet. I still want to see it. A bad Guy Ritchie movie is going to be better than a good Michael Bay movie, right? Like, you know, so, and I mean, I still want to check it out. But I feel like the cheesy was, like, what I'm hearing is the cheesy was too much, and that, I guess in the way he played it too safe, like he just didn't push it as far as the Lock Stocks or the Snatches or even the Rock and Rollas. And probably because they were trying to appeal to a larger audience.
Well, at the same time, they're trying to adapt a classic TV show that was the definition of cheese. I mean, it's a 60s spy thriller. I mean, you can tell that Henry Cavill's doing a straight up like Robert Vaughn impression with like that odd accent he's using. So, and every time they try to adapt one of those classic TV shows, it's a fine line between how modern, how updated do we want to make it, and how true to the source material do we want to keep it. And I think Guy Ritchie, as much as I enjoy his movies and his direction style, I don't know if like the 60s out there kind of part of it fits him, but I don't know if the cheese fits his corner. His sort of like, I don't know if those two things mesh well together, but I don't know. I really still want to see it pretty badly, but most of the reviews I've said have heard that it's good. It's safe. It's, you will have forgotten most of it before you finished watching it kind of thing. So.
Yeah.
I'm okay with good, not great. I'm not okay with could have been way better. Then that's when I kind of feel disappointed. I'm hoping I don't feel disappointed. I'm hoping I'm just like, oh, they made a good movie. I'm fine with that.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. So
exactly. I hate to have to be that with my directors.
I don't know, but two big movies, either way, huge box office. The big thing I wanted to point out about Straight Outta Compton was huge. So previously in 2009, Paramount set the speed record by hitting the $2 billion box office mark domestically on December 25th. Now that was a year that also featured, some big releases for them. This year, Universal now, thanks to massive, massive titles, including Furious 7, 50 Shades of Grey, Jurassic World, Minions, and now Straight Outta Compton, has hit the $2 billion mark domestically the second weekend of August. So, crazy.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So that's quite a gap in the speed record there. So didn't even just beat it. They shattered it. And a crazy thing, and we pointed it out on the Movie Pass this week, they did it without a superhero movie. So that's pretty interesting considering how much attention that's getting. However, I mean, Minions, you knew was going to do a good draw. Jurassic World's been buzzed about for years, and I don't think there's a Furious movie that's going to come out and not do good. Still, to this, they're going to do Furious 34, and it's going to be breaking the previous Furious movie box office mark. So it's just that type of franchise. And we all knew what 50 Shades of Grey was going to bring out in the theater. Well, maybe we didn't know all of what it was going to bring out.
Is that really this year?
Yeah.
That seems like legitimately forever ago.
It feels that way, but it was this year. It was, I would say it was even, wasn't even after Furious 7.
I don't remember.
I don't know. It's somewhere around there, but they've had and they also were very smart in it. 'Cause when you look at all those movies, everything was very nicely spaced out for them. So they never got in their own way, which was I think a good strategy there. And all huge titles, you know, big things that had big movies that had lofty expectations, and they all delivered. So I guess congratulations to Universal for that. 'Cause that was a pretty.
Yeah. 50 Shades was like February. Wasn't it like a Valentine's Day release?
Oh yeah. Didn't it come out of it? You're right.
Or the day before Valentine's Day or something like that.
Icky.
Yeah, I think Valentine's Day was what, Saturday or so, and so it was the Valentine's Day weekend release. Yeah, take your sweetheart to that movie.
No, please. No. By the way, I didn't do that. So just in case anybody was wondering.
I know that my mom made my stepdad go with her, and I made fun of her a lot.
Aaron, you've unmuted yourself since the 50 Shades of Grey conversation. Did you have something to add?
Well, I just think it's gross, and that's all I'm going to say about it. Especially, now I'm going to say more. You know, like, when you're walking through a store, and there's, like, a teenage group of girls, and they're like, I'm going to let my boyfriend take me to see 50 Shades of Grey, and that's what happened. And I'm pissed. It was gross.
All right. Well,
rant
over. There.
Have you seen it? Have you seen it?
Okay. Why do I need to see it to complain? Gross.
It's, I mean, your complaints were very specific. It's gross. You haven't read it or seen it. Like,
I know about
Tyler was just like, he was,
I wasn't going to do anything.
He was circling.
You start getting a little like, gross. You don't know.
You think that, like, encouraging bondage and having like serious issues and like, you know, encouraging abuse in a relationship is like,
cool. No,
for the girls to read to watch. Like,
I don't think it is at all. But I haven't read it or watched the movie, so I don't.
Yeah,
know.
But you know it has those concepts in there. So there.
All right.
Fun fact about this, actually, that my wife told me: the movie. So, like, they're debating how to rate it here in the States. Like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Our friends in France, they were also debating on whether or not to rate the movie, but it was to like give it any sort of restriction, not like, oh, should it be R or PG-13? They were like, it's probably fine. You take whoever you want to go see, you can go see it. We don't care.
You know, I heard that same thing. I think I had a conversation on Modern Sex about that plug. But the thing is that the prime minister said that there's not anything shocking in the film. Nothing shocking.
We know what the prime minister is up to at night then. So
what are these people in France doing?
Well, I mean, when you go out and have that much wine and small plates, you know, things get crazy.
Now we're French bashing. I like it. I don't think we're the winning side of this equation. Like this, if I'm taking sides in like, oh yeah, anyone can see it versus we totally shouldn't let anyone see it, I'm definitely taking the French side on this one.
I agree because as much as I don't want to see 50 Shades of Grey, I agree. If I'm going to sit here and say, you can't censor this item A, can't be a hypocrite and say, you got to censor item B. So
I mean, it's one of those things. That's a discussion we can go on for days about, but when it comes to sexuality, nudity, stuff like that versus heads exploding, like I'm definitely.
I mean, I think all of us here in this podcast would actually be united on that opinion. But the biggest problem with us here in America is that we actually have a lot of shit out there that's like 50 Shades of Grey, you know, implied or whatever. And then when you have teenagers seeing it without any positive education, any positive sex education on, you know, what is good consensual sex, then that's where the problem comes. It's not that we're showing it to the masses. It's we don't have enough positive stuff. And I think that in France, they probably do. Like, they probably start sex ed in like kindergarten. Probably. I mean, I don't know. Somebody correct me on that.
Aaron has it from a very reliable source. literally
used Wikipedia to find that out.
Literally millions of people. I mean, she's read a lot of things of people saying that.
No, a clue. I even pretty much said, like, I have no idea, but I'm just going to assume.
There we go. Can't complain with that. Can't complain about that then.
So besides 50 Shades of Grey in August, after it was released in February, a couple big things to talk about too was exciting. Two very, well, very popular women right now, stating their own case to play specific characters. And we'll start with the ferocious yet talented Ronda Rousey, ready to take on the Captain Marvel role for Marvel for the movie there. I don't know.
How serious of a claim was that? Because it was literally, because I was reading it, it was in a Reddit AMA, and someone was just like, hey, if you could play a superhero, what would you be? And she's like, I don't know, probably Captain Marvel. And then all of a sudden, there was literally like 15 articles about it over the internet.
Well, she started there, but then supposedly she followed up in future interviews with it too. And then fans started making images of her as Captain Marvel, and she started sharing them on her own social media. Saying,
okay, fair enough. Okay.
I really think I actually should do this, and I've got the fan support behind me. So it did it exactly right. It did start on Reddit. So, but and it may she may have just ran with it because and not have thought about it before. But I think she's capable of performing in that role. I don't know. I haven't really seen. I know she's was in two smaller roles here recently with Furious 7 and the Entourage movie. And as my understanding, she's played in a few other small parts too, but I haven't seen either one of those yet. So I don't know where she's at on the acting spectrum. I don't know. Did you guys see those movies?
I didn't see them, but I feel like she'd probably be good because of her, her love of magic. And she seems to be pretty intelligent. Those things combined, she can pull it off.
Okay. So the other person, who is really interested in taking on a character herself is Hayley Atwell would like to be the next Doctor.
I'm on board with that.
I'm on board with Hayley Atwell doing whatever the hell she wants.
Who's Hayley Atwell?
Hayley? She's this actress who's been in a few things lately. She's kind of gotten popular around the Marvel scene.
Peggy Carter?
Agent Peggy Carter to you.
Oh, that one. Oh, okay. I'm not cool with that. I don't like it.
What? Why?
I don't like it.
Explain yourself. Explain yourself.
I'm just going to flat out say, I don't like it. I don't like the idea of a woman doctor. Everyone's really big on let's make the doctor a woman. I'm not. It's not Fable, okay? You can't just be like, take the elixir. Okay, you're right. I sound like a total sexist asshole right now. I'm sorry, I do. But I like the doctor the way the doctor is.
I think it's Aaron just can't.
Very just white, male, and British. Can we make him black? Is that okay?
Totally.
Idris Elba. Or I also like the idea of Ben Whishaw. He was rumored this last time.
Here's the thing. If the doctor becomes a woman after 13 reincarnations or whatever of being a woman, then I don't like it. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, people...
Because all the things in the Doctor Who universe totally make
sense. No, because he's a male. He's consistently male. Like, okay, he wakes up with a female genitalia after his next whatever. He's still going to feel male. So why go through all that trouble of putting him in a woman's body where he's going to keep acting male?
You're not a Time Lord. You don't know.
He's going to want to have, like, gender reassignment if he wakes up with a vagina.
What would be the problem with him still having relationships with women?
There's nothing wrong with that, but why not just... he's the doctor, why is he going to...
The conversation right now has gone to what is the problem with Hayley Atwell having relationships with other women. This is getting interesting.
Okay, that's totally cool, but I just don't understand. Like, I feel like... Like, we would have to explore what would happen to him with his gender, and I just think that he's too consistently male to just suddenly get a vagina.
Now we're into biological sex versus gender.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, we're not at any of those things, because the doctor changes every time he regenerates, and we hand wave all that shit away. He's never the same person again. Like, I don't know. Like,
no. Okay, but it's a person is their gender, and if
it's a ridiculous sci-fi television show, we can hand wave whatever the hell away we want.
I don't want to hand wave his penis away. I like his penis. Okay.
How the hell do you even know he has a penis?
It's got weird.
Wow. He's probably got three of them.
He might.
But you take two of those away, what's he left with?
Maybe Time Lord females have two penises, and that's how you know that they're. I feel like you're digging a little too deep into a very inconsistent like world building exercise.
I don't really care. I like the Doctor being male. I'm putting Time Lords into a box, not a female box.
Well, there's nothing wrong with saying you like the Doctor being male.
Yes,
that's okay. You can stop there. You don't have to say, I don't want it to be female because blah, 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 because then you're going to get into things where it doesn't make any sense with the Doctor Who world. But you can just say, I like him being male. And
that's true.
End of story. There we go.
Stay with that. And then
I like him being male.
Gender reassignment surgery. Like, we can skip over that part.
But I can't.
Yeah, you can't. You really can.
But that's my point. That's why I would not be able to enjoy the show as much, because I would be struggling with it so much.
You're literally the only one, I think.
I don't think so.
I honestly
there's got to be like two other people out there.
I honestly think she's just she can't handle, you know, good comedy type shows that are led by women cast. She just can't do
probably.
It.
It's probably true. Strong, smart, intelligent women who save the day. It's not
Aaron really probably Aaron probably hates the Ghostbusters reboot too. I don't know.
Did you say the Ghostbusters?
Whatever. I don't know. I think Hayley Atwell would be fine. I would also like to see, as we mentioned, Idris Elba or as rumored last time, Ben Whishaw would be, I think, a pretty awesome doctor.
I'm on board with Ben doing way more things. He needs to be in basically everything. I really enjoy him. So.
Who's Ben Whishaw, please? I know that there's got to be listeners who don't know who all of these people are.
Oh, it's not for you. It's for other people. Should we tell you who Idris Elba is as well?
I actually know who Idris Elba is, but you might want to refresh everybody's memory.
Well, Idris Elba is, you mentioned the Doctor possibly not being white anymore, so he's probably the most badass black British actor out there today.
Well, hey.
So he's
generalizing there.
And then Ben Whishaw, you would know from great movies like Cloud Atlas, or he's also playing Q in the new James Bond films.
Which character does he play in Cloud Atlas?
Are you serious at this point? Like, are you?
Is he in Across the Universe?
Like, that's a bad joke.
Can we bring her like a computer that maybe has like Wikipedia or Google on it?
No, she has a computer right in front of her.
That's what I'm saying.
Too busy playing Plants vs. Zombies over there.
I'm not.
Anyways, and then not only that too, I while we're worried about that, we all missed the fact that she asked, oh, is he the one in Cloud Atlas that's also in Across the Universe? So now not only is she muddying up Ben.
I didn't miss it.
She's muddying up every actor that has a strong enough name in there. I'm surprised. Aaron, are you looking it up now? Oh, she's making a huge
Oh, that guy.
Yeah,
he's awesome. He would be the best doctor ever. I totally agree. Put him in all the movies.
Anyways, so the conversation was Hayley Atwell. Obviously, Aaron, who is sexist, does not approve of that choice. The rest of us are okay with it. Oh, I'm going to hammer it in there with the way you were last week with the Ghostbusters thing. I'm going to make sure.
I was just speaking the truth.
Anyways, so
you kind of went on a tear against the poor.
You guys be sweet.
You were right. You were right in there. So don't even.
All three of you be sweet. I'm being sweet now.
Atwell definitely, I think, could pull it off. But what is the crazy thing now is like that didn't used to be a thing, or maybe it did, and I'm just overlooking it. And I'm not saying it never happened. So before Tyler pulls out some obscure reference and says, no, it was always a thing in my hipster world. But for the most part, actors petitioning for a role like that themselves out there,
definitely always been a thing.
See, but I don't like to this level. It feels like it just happens more now.
I mean, one of the biggest ones,
makes it easier.
But one of the biggest ones from history has got to be the original Batman one, or Batman Returns with Catwoman. Does anyone not remember that story?
I don't, actually. Maybe you should fill us in. Or maybe, yeah, I totally remember, but Aaron probably doesn't remember. Or some of our listeners may not remember.
You know, thank you. I appreciate your kindness there and trying to explain things for people who don't understand.
So I want to say it was...
Sharon Stone? Was it Sharon Stone that really wanted to be Catwoman? Michelle Pfeiffer ended up being.
I think Catwoman. That's right.
Yes, I want to say it was Sharon Stone.
We're all sure that it was Michelle Pfeiffer. We're positive of that.
Do you, Aaron? Do you remember who that is, or do you need to pull that up on the?
She was the lady from Stardust.
Okay. Yeah, actually,
really,
she is in that movie.
She played
there we go.
In Grease 2 with all the condoms.
You referenced Grease 2 as the second movie.
Now we know. But now we know that she's got the right movie.
Yeah, but I mean, what else is she really in? Like, she's in a ton of movies, but she's not a good actress. We all know that. Okay, move on. What was your point there, Tyler?
She really, really, really wanted to be Catwoman, and basically, like, got to the point of like straight up like dressing up in costume and showing up like at Tim Burton's, like begging for the role. But I mean, like, people petitioning for roles or driving projects because they want to play a certain person is not. It's not uncommon in Hollywood.
Right. That's
but the internet and Twitter and Reddit and shit like that have made it significantly more prevalent.
Right. I'd say used to have actors pushing projects so they could play a particular role, getting a movie made to be able to be a person in that movie. And I feel like you don't see that actually as much now, as opposed to now just people like, I'm going to put it out on the internet. I want to be Ant-Man, or I want to be, you know, Captain Marvel or Doctor Who, whoever it might be.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I feel like in the past when it happened more, like you said, it was more projects. I'm going to push to get this project made by the studio so then I can be in it and be this role, as opposed to now. And it is, like you mentioned, it's a lot easier with social media these days. So it definitely plays a factor in that it's easier to just go on your Facebook fan page or your Twitter account and be like, hey, I would be an awesome Doctor or Captain Marvel.
So my guess is that people complain about this and think like, this person's a celebrity. They shouldn't be asking to get a role.
I wouldn't say that. I was just asking. I was just pointing out that I don't like, it seems like it's happening a lot more. I wasn't complaining or haven't really seen many people complain. I actually see fans more get behind it and support it.
Okay. That's cool. Cause I don't know. I would just assume, because that's what I like to do. I would assume that, you know, some people might be complaining or naysaying, like, how dare these people petition? But I don't know. I feel like on the crowdfunding side.
That's one thing. But yeah, like, petitioning for roles, I mean, that's their job. Like, they're just trying to get a gig. Like, they still have to go through auditions like everyone else. It's a very demoralizing job. And I don't think there's anything wrong with them saying, like, hey, I want to be that person.
For sure.
Just get your name out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was exciting. So tell us what you think about, of course, Rousey as Captain Marvel and Atwell playing the next Doctor. I don't know. I haven't heard. Sorry, Adam, you're the one probably who's of us all who keeps up with Doctor Who the best. And I know at first it our newest Doctor was a big problem, but I'm seeing a lot of comments that it's already starting to kind of just be like, need some new blood. He's just not really, really as strong.
It gets tough in terms of the Doctor, because there's like people latch on to one in particular and it takes a while to warm up to the new one. But for me, it's more about the Doctor companion relationship than it is about who the Doctor is. That if that relationship's solid, it carries for years, like you saw with Matt Smith, Carey Gilliam, and I can't remember Rory's real name. Yeah. That's gonna be annoying.
Or Billy Piper and David Tennant.
Yeah, I mean, even Billy Piper
that one's like
Christopher Eccleston.
And Christopher Eccleston. I mean, like, Billy Piper carried the first two seasons to reboot with, and I mean that's impressive, I think, because you had the different Doctors, you had all that kind of stuff. So, but she was the consistent one there. So I don't know. You've seen changes fast. Eccleston was only in there for a year before he was out. Like, so a couple seasons with Capaldi, and it may be time to move on. Yeah, I haven't finished, so I'm not positive.
What's her name? Who's been pretty much the companion his entire run?
I'm bad with their actual names. Clara Oswalt is
Clara. Her character. Clara, yeah. So the character. So
Arthur Darvill was Rory, but
well, Arthur does
Arthur,
not.
Arthur, yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Part of the problem with, I think, with Clara, and you bring up a great point. So the companions there help drive that, and there's always this great story that kind of surrounds the companion and sucks the Doctor in and drives that. And I think that was really with talk about the Billy Piper part. You got it that multiple times. You had a great early arc and then the Bad Wolf arc and everything like that. So you get, and then the whole like love story even almost that pretty much develops there is so you get so much with that. But even the other characters, when Donna returns, all that, you know, there's something that centers around that. With Clara, you solved it. You solved it with the 11th Doctor. You solved it with Matt Smith. You figured out her backstory, the whole thing, how she plays the factor into the, you know, the 50th anniversary being, you know, say, and then it's just like, then you just keep running with her because I think at that point you had some good, quick and strong development with her. I really liked her as a companion, but then where do you go from there? You know? So that might be part of the problem. I'm with you. I haven't kept up with recent seasons. I don't know where, or actually, yeah, that last one I think is about to drop to Netflix. So
already did.
Oh, just did. Okay. I need to get back on Netflix then. So, but anyway, I think you've uncovered something there because that might be a great point of when you really think about it, her as a companion, it's not that she necessarily may be a terrible companion. It's just that we got her big deliver very early on and then just, they just kept running with her.
Yeah. And the tough part for me with her was taking over the last half of Matt Smith's last season. So after Rory and Amy, like, I was just completely broken down by that the New York episode with Rory. Yeah. And so like it could have been anybody. She might be the best companion ever. Like, I don't know how I'm getting over that. I needed like they did with Donna, like to get me from Rose to Martha to be at the beginning. Like I needed a buffer in between there before I could have a real companion that I could attach to.
Just some over the top one off right. episodes that are hey, some really funny stuff right here.
Right. Give me some stuff that's a little bit crazy and then give me a new companion, maybe with the new Doctor altogether. I don't know.
No, you're right. Right after the Amy Pond arc, you went straight into that intense, like, well, because at that time too, they knew Matt Smith's time was winding down. You're approaching a 50th anniversary. You've got to deliver here. You can't just put it with filler. So, I mean, they didn't really have that choice, but yeah, you make a great point. It's hard to, the expectations for, you had all that going on and then you replace the Doctor and then have this companion who you, like you said, deliver that bang with her. So yeah, I could see why people, fans, maybe not as in love because the previous, I always love that meme of the life cycle of a Doctor Who fan, you know, never going to be as good as this Doctor. Oh, they're okay. And then by the time they're dead, like, was greatest Doctor ever. And it just doesn't seem like that's happening this time around. But it's like, yeah. they hit so many home runs out of the park with the end of Smith and you know, with Amy Pond and Rory and all them that it's, I mean, that's just a tough act to follow.
But it also took Matt Smith how long to be not David Tennant's replacement, but someone else. Because Matt Smith had how many
first season?
I mean, Matt Smith had did how many seasons? Did he do?
I think he did three.
Three, I think so. And that whole first one was probably I was in that first one, even one of those that was like, I mean, it's no David Tennant.
And Tennant did it forever. So I mean, but yeah, he did it for like three seasons. So I mean, Capaldi's had one, two now. And I don't know how many people in America have seen the second one all the way through, you know, so it's maybe still happening. He's got a little time. One season, two seasons, I don't know, is enough to say that he's going to take over for someone like Matt Smith.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Cool. So I mentioned last weekend was really exciting because besides the box office stuff we already talked about, D23 was going on at Disney. And of course, with Disney now, it's not just, hey, here's your next animated flick, which is still typically a great thing to learn more about, but it's, hey, here's all this Star Wars information and even this Marvel information. But they really brought it home with Star Wars, announcing your director for episode 9, which I do want to, I'll touch on that here in a second because I want to bring up how I don't know, they're doing a different director for each 7, 8, 9, which I don't know how everybody feels about that. But before we get into that, of course, more details and, of course, the complete cast for Rogue One, which is due out next year. And I'm a little bit excited because it's that little nostalgia thing. We're getting Alan Tudyk back in a spaceship. That's all I can say. Yeah, let's get it. He's going to be flying a spaceship again. So this time for Star Wars.
If he gets impaled by something, I will literally just fall out of my theater chair. I will too like soon. The waterworks that'll happen in the middle of that theater will people won't be prepared for it. I'm just going to throw that out there. But no, that's, I mean, it's super exciting. I like the fact that, I mean, I'm okay with them doing different directors. I really like the fact that they've already got them picked out so that they can be around for the other movies kind of getting going and be not part of the production, but at least on set and see what some of that background information is like.
Well, so they announced, yeah, Colin Trevorrow, who just did Jurassic World. So, I mean, that pretty much showed that he can help resurrect a franchise, kind of secured him in this resurrection. But that was the big thing they pointed out. Production does not start for a while, but he will be working very closely with the current directors on their movies, with, you know, the art team, the concept, the pre-production teams that are working on all the movies. So that way you can still get that consistent flow. And it can help him churn them out faster probably too, especially when you're considering we're not just looking at three movies spaced 2 years apart. We're looking at a whole universe that's how many, you know, a new movie every year. So yeah, I can see that. I found it weird too at the same time, because when you have, and I mean, maybe, you know, it might be a better thing. You have a name like J.J. Abrams that you grab for this one. Like most common Hollywood practice is if he delivers, then you turn around and sign him on for the next sequels. You know, that's how they typically do. So, but like you said, they're just moving along to get it done.
But I think you look at this like, so Warner Brothers looked at Harry Potter. These movies are going to make untold amounts of money. Like somebody's going to have to do a horrible, horrible job to prevent that. So if I can get directors on board already and get started, then moving forward, I can get them out faster. So, I mean, I think all the Harry Potter movies had different directors. If not, maybe Chris Columbus did two of them, but I don't think so. I think they all had different directors, and that really let them kind of cruise through.
Future Academy Award winning director, and at least in one case there. So, but no, that's exciting. I'm going to touch right back on Rogue One because I had it pulled up, and then Tyler, you can jump in here. But I wanted to mention, because besides Alan Tudyk, you're also getting Felicity Jones, Ben Mendelsohn, Mads Mikkelsen, and Donnie Yee, and then from Nightcrawler, Riz Ahmed, which I know he's, you know, are pretty popular. I'm not too familiar. But then, of course, Forest Whitaker. So you get quite a cast in that movie. And I'm excited. Mads Mikkelsen, I'm a fan. Did great in Casino Royale, but I just watched again. I saw the Tallgrass Film Festival, The Salvation, and then just watched it again because I bought it this weekend. $8.49 on Amazon on Blu-ray. So go pick it up. intense movie, and he is super intense in it, but he's intense in Casino Royale as well. So all right, Tyler, you want to touch on Star Wars? I'm sorry.
I just want to say that I'm really proud that you and I have kept Tyler from talking for like, it's been like 10 minutes. I'm really impressed. Well,
it's about Star Wars, and that's the problem. You hit like 15 things now, and I have all these things I have to say.
Go for it. Run it through. I'm going to get a drink.
I don't know. It's a mixture. It's a lot of different things like on stuff you touch. Number one, like lining up the different directors. I think that's a good and a bad thing at the same time. Like for one, like you want to keep it fresh and it avoids like getting stuck in some sort of rut. And for better or for worse, I'm hit or miss on J.J. Abrams as a director. I love J.J. Abrams as a producer and as a showrunner and a guy behind the curtain. But when he's behind the camera, I think he's not super consistent, at least not for me. Like he makes amazingly well-crafted movies that a lot of times are ultimately forgettable. They're fun and they're excited, and then afterwards you're like, well, that was good, you know. And then especially like when you get them on a franchise, like I love the first Star Trek, but I think the second Star Trek was a bit of a letdown. It got a little too Abramsy and not enough Star Trek-y. I don't know. But with Star Wars, there's never been a movie I don't think that I've been more excited about than I am excited about Episode 7. Like I am so ridiculously pumped about this movie. But the more and more and more and more Star Wars stuff they pump out, as weird as it sounds, I'm so excited to get like a cinematic version of the Star Wars expanded universe. But they're driving this baby into the ground. Like if they have even a little bit of a hiccup or a bad one in there, I'm worried that they're going to just really just run the franchise dry before they even have a chance to really do the kind of stuff that they want to do. Which
welcome to Disney.
I know. I mean, it's Disney, and it's what you expect. But
as they announced Toy Story 4 last weekend as well.
Yeah, really? With the Toy Story 4? I don't know about
that. Are they really doing that?
Not only in a – I think in 2 months you have a straight-to-DVD Blu-ray short or at least series of shorts featuring the Toy Story characters. But then you're also – yeah, Toy Story 4 was announced along with the release date for Finding Dory and finally the confirmation for Incredibles 2, which that one – pretty stoked for.
Totally on board with
it. Yeah, well, I mean, Incredibles 2, fine, but geez Louise.
No, just... Toy Story, you've wrapped it up multiple times. You've closed
too many times.
You've closed it more than once, and it's time to move on. But that's your whole point there, relating it back to Star Wars, is Disney will, they will bleed it dry because they, you know, they'll get that money out of it. But it, I mean, it'll sell. It'll sell.
Yeah. But
and my only real fear there is Rogue One. I don't think. I mean, people are going to go see a Boba Fett movie if they do one, and a Han Solo movie, and they'll see 8 and 9. So, I mean, I don't know where it's going to go dry.
Well, Rogue One comes back and ties into the Death Star and everything, like preparation for that. So, I think you get a lot of people back in for that one. But yeah. I don't know.
And I'm curious with what their timeline is going to start to look like, because between young Han Solo, where in the world do you go with Boba Fett? Like, you know, pre. Episode 6, post episode 6, where do you do with Rogue One? Are you doing like post Battle of Yavin, Rogue One, pre Battle of Yavin? I mean, like they're going to have, I'm concerned that they're going to either make up some whole new storylines or they're going to be running like 4, 5, like different like periods of time in the Star Wars universe at the same time, which will get, I think, confusing for some people, but well, I don't care. It's more like Star Wars movies and I'm totally pumped. I'm totally on board with all of it.
But along with the movies, another announcement out of D23, of course, was the addition of some addition for the theme parks, too. So you guys didn't see that?
Literally going to make all of the money.
Yeah.
I mean, we joke about this all of the time. Disney is literally going to make all of them. They own Marvel. They own the Star Wars. They own the amusement parks. It's – can they set up some sort of program so that I can just have my paycheck directly deposited to them and then get all of the perks that go along with that, like free access to the parks and free access to the movies, that kind of stuff. That's a program they need.
I do have the Disney credit card that you can earn points for. They do have that out there. So sign up for it.
I went to Disney World twice. And I think the last time I went, I was in like 5th or 6th grade. Back then they had like some Star Wars stuff at MGM Studios, like next door, you could go do like the Star Tours ride and stuff like that. But a full on like Star Wars, like part of the theme park.
You're going to have to go to California for this one. Cause it's in Disneyland. They're
so fine. My sister lives there now.
Well,
I thought they had announced it at both.
I don't know. I said Star Wars Land coming to Disneyland, and maybe it was the Marvel stuff that's going to Disney World?
I'm excited for that because they send all the good stuff to Disney World. Like, you know, in
Disney World's not as locked in for one.
Yeah, have you been to downtown Anaheim?
I've been to Disneyland, but
that's the thing. To go. Like,
it's so much more inexpensive.
They're going to put it next to those three new
California. It's just cheaper to go to Disneyland instead of Disney World.
Really?
Okay,
I've lived in Southern California and I've lived in Central Florida, and it's definitely more expensive to go to Southern California than it is to Central Florida.
The first person
I disagree.
Say, hey, it's cheaper to go to California than anywhere else. So
hold on.
She read a lot of people who've said that.
No. It's true. On vacation, Disney World, the ticket prices are more. The hotel prices to stay in Orlando, Florida are more. Because there's nothing – like when you go to Anaheim, California – you guys, just look it up.
That's why you stay in Kissimmee, St. Cloud.
Okay, well, you know, people don't tell you this.
At the resort.
Plus, when you go to Disney World, you get to go to like 15 different Disney theme parks between –
That's my point. It's more expensive, see?
And typically
you don't have to, but you can. You get a package.
They sell package deals too with Universal and Disney. Yeah.
You got to go to Disney
World. That's true. And that's what I did.
You got to go to MGM Studios. You got to go to
I'm pretty sure that I went to Disneyland because it was cheaper. And everybody that I know who grew up in Colorado, because that's where I grew up, everybody went. So it depends on where you live too for airfare. But it's a lot cheaper to fly to California from Colorado than it is to Florida. Period. The end of story. I win.
Maybe it was cheaper 20 years ago.
Holy cow. How old are you saying that I am? Because
anyways, Disneyland will have Star Wars attached to it. That's the point. The point is that we all want to go to Disneyland now because Star Wars will be there, Star Wars Land. And I've never been to Disneyland or Disney World. So while y'all are sitting there bitching and arguing with each other about, oh, this one's better than this one. I've never been
what?
To either. I've never been to either. So
first of all, everybody knows that Disney World is better.
Shut your face. I've never even been to either.
You poor deprived child.
I know, right? Anyways, so I'm ready now to book my tickets to Disneyland whenever they finish that. I don't know. I don't know if they announced the date for expectation, probably 2017 or so. But I don't know. We'll have to look up after the fact and see if it is, if something else is going on at Disney World related to Star Wars. I thought Marvel too. But a lot going on anyways for Star Wars with Disney. So a lot of exciting things.
Easy for you to say.
It wasn't.
We were all muted. That's a bad plan.
We kind of blew the load early there with Star Wars.
We got more things.
All right, let's do this, Tyler.
The Hateful Eight trailer is out.
And
phenomenal.
It looks good.
Well, and it's getting so it's going to come out in December in limited release. They're going on a road show showing it in 70mm, which is amazing. And then January it'll go into wide release in standard theaters. But I'm definitely going to try and catch one of these 70mm road show showings because 70mm is awesome. And typically, I mean, obviously it's Tarantino, obviously it's the Weinstein Company, but typically you don't they don't roll out the carpet to run a special sort of thing like this, like with the roadshow 70mm showing in select theaters without it being something pretty special. And
Tarantino with the last couple of films has also hit that. Cause I was, when you're saying this, I'm like, yeah, they don't. And Tarantino's very specific audience, but he's gotten a little bit more out there. So, you know, you can sell more tickets now.
I don't know. And it's got a lot of a lot of people that he's worked with before. You got Samuel L. Jackson, you got Tim Roth, you got Michael Madsen.
Wait, Tarantino's using some of the same actors he's used before?
No. Back off. But then you got some new people in there. You got some Bruce Dern, Walton Goggins, Kurt Russell, Jennifer Jason Leigh. I think it looks fantastic. So I'm super on board with
it. Trailer looked good.
Yeah, that movie's going to be good.
Very vague, like typical early trailers for Tarantino films, but that never worries me because we're talking about this is his eighth film, and one of them is bad.
It can only be so vague because he wasn't going to make this movie because someone leaked the script. Like everyone knows everyone knows the story. I mean, obviously he's changed it since then and done some rewrites, but everyone knows the basic shape of it. So, they did a live reading of it in downtown Hollywood. So,
well, and you know, Tarantino can write a story, so I don't need the script to like prove to me that there is something to this movie. Or I don't need the trailer, I'm sorry, to prove to me that there's something to this movie. He's going to tell an amazing story, and he's going to do it in an amazing way, which is really what you want in for a movie. Yeah, that's what I want.
Let's see what else has come out trailer wise. Speaking of,
before you move to the next trailer, sticking with Tarantino real quick, Kill Bill 3, early details coming out. Uma Thurman has signed on, so that will be the ninth movie by Quentin Tarantino. So
hold on. Why?
Why? Because the whole concept early was that they were going to do a third Kill Bill to where Vivica A. Fox's daughter, the one that was sent out to school or whatever during that fight scene, is now older and coming after the bride.
Timeline, does that make you feel old that little girl is now a grown-up almost?
Yeah, we don't need to talk about it. But anyways, that was the early concept for a reason to do three, and Tarantino and Uma Thurman both confirmed if they ever came back, it would probably be that. And so now they're putting it together. So my assumption would be that's the direction they would be going. All right. So other trailers, Tyler.
Speaking of Straight Outta Compton, Ice Cube and Kevin Hart are doing another Ride Along 2. So that's a thing.
Come on, Ice Cube.
Trailer just came out.
Bad decisions.
It's so funny to see that trailer after having seen the movie last night and then like seeing that guy who's, you know, in Detroit singing
Straight Outta Compton, crazy
singing Fuck the Police and getting arrested, making Ride Along and Are We There Yet? So that's pretty fun. Makes my day. Burnt, which is Bradley Cooper.
I love that you referenced Are We There Yet, by the way. But anyways, Bradley Cooper's doing it.
John Wells with the Weinstein Company making a movie about with Bradley Cooper as a chef that lost it all. Whatever is going to come back. I don't know. Sienna Miller. It looks interesting. I don't know. He did this role basically.
Didn't this movie come out in the comedy version already? Like called Chef?
Well,
I saw this movie. It's called Chef. And
this one's not the comedy version of it. But the same thing. Bradley Cooper did this because he did the comedy TV show version. Got canceled after one season. He did the television adaptation of Anthony Bourdain's book, Kitchen Confidential. If anyone remembers that TV show that lasted about this long. But
When did that come out? What are you talking about?
It was years ago.
Bradley Cooper?
Bradley Cooper was the star of a TV show called Kitchen Confidential based on the memoir by Anthony Bourdain. It had him in it, and it had – who else did it have in it? I don't remember. What's it? John Francis Daly was one of the characters in it, and I know. What else? I think Victor Frankenstein looks funny and awesome.
I haven't watched it yet, but the biggest complaint I saw was that trailer looks good, but I don't even know what song it is, but everybody has commented that the song used for the trailer was the wrong choice. So I don't even know. I'll have to check it out, see what it was.
Well, that's how I decide whether or not I'm going to see a movie a year from now.
The song for the trailer. No, people are saying I'm still going to go see it. I'm just questioning that choice there. But it's not necessarily trailer, but it is a trailer, but not for movies, excuse me. Just hitting YouTube, of course, is the preview for the new Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon that hits this September. So Rocket Raccoon and Groot, and of course all the other ones, but the trailer focuses on Rocket Raccoon meeting Groot. So that should be interesting. I think they can do a lot of fun things with that.
Now, do the Marvel cartoons exist within the MCU, or are they just separate?
No, they're separate. At least a lot of the ones seen so far are separate because definitely Ultimate Spider-Man and, you know, the other ones aren't following very much. And I think these are from that same creators that make those. But I think they pretty much say, here's your license, go make them fun for kids.
Fair enough.
And we're going to get more apparently DC television shows about sort of superheroes.
On board.
Well, we've got now Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, Gotham, Arrow, Flash. We had Constantine.
Is Gotham still on? But they've moved Constantine over to
Constantine's apparently
Arrow,
trying,
right?
No, or he's going to do a cameo.
He's going to do a cameo, but they're trying to shop the show somewhere else. Like they're trying to move it to a different. And now they've announced that
CW also had the other one. They had Arrow, Flash, and then what's the other one? The CW already had three DC shows. I can't remember what the other comic one.
I have no idea. There's a third one? Are they talking about making a third one? Because I don't know of another one that's on right now.
Smallville, but that's been over for a while.
No, they aired a season one of something that was comic related.
I don't know. Let me look and see. DC TV shows.
Maybe it's not DC because they have.
They announced that they're going to make a Vixens. They announced that, like a web series based on the Vixens, and Titans is apparently being worked on for something.
I don't know. I'm making stuff up, but anyways.
No, that's not it. Unproduced, to be announced. So. Arrow, Gotham, Flash. iZombie.
That's right.
Technically, yeah, that's DC.
It's not like DC superhero, but it's definitely still.
So then we've got Supergirl coming to CBS. We've got Legends of Tomorrow coming out. Preacher coming out. Titans/Blackbirds pilot ordered. Preacher.
I forgot about Preacher.
Lucifer series has been ordered, and then Powerless, which is the new one. That literally NBC has just run out of, they don't know how to make other TV shows anymore. So Powerless will be a basically office comedy. I mean, it'll be a workplace comedy, single camera, confessional style thing about the powerless people in a superhero universe. I think apparently working at possibly an insurance company that have to deal with this sort of stuff. So, because that's what NBC does is makes people do.
Well, it's all they can do. Yeah.
They make weird, awkward faux documentaries.
But speaking of comic book shows, so there's a lot on there because Krypton, which is the sequel to Superman, is also licensed. I don't think it's got a run yet. And then somebody's picked up, I don't remember who, but somebody picked up The Wicked and the Divine, which is one of the really popular comic series running right now.
Yeah, Sci-Fi's developing both Krypton and a DMZ show. WGN is apparently trying to do a Scalped. USA is working on Amped, and then NBC, the other announcement when they announced the Powerless TV show is NBC's trying to develop a Red television show, which I would actually be interested in.
On which network?
NBC.
Retired and Extremely Dangerous?
Yes, that Red.
Not developed Dean Fort necessarily for NBC network.
Universal is developing
a Red television show. It doesn't have a network yet.
Okay, I'm fine with that because NBC Universal was also the one I just read that was behind The Wicked and Divine. They're the ones who got the rights and will. Yeah.
Those are the ones we listed earlier that are actually pilot toured. Those are for those networks. NBC is just doing development for Red. That doesn't exist.
And oftentimes you can find those on different networks even, especially if they need to head over to the cable networks. All right, so wow, a lot of stuff coming out. We are getting that point in the year, though, where it gets to where, especially television-wise, and then we're moving into the fall movie season. So Tyler has already brought it up. He has won both box office weekends in the preseason because we're doing preseason right now. I don't got the starters out there yet. We're Brady suspended and everything. I don't know. It's a long story.
Is this week one?
Labor Day weekend is week one for the fall season. So we still have two more weeks of preseason. So you'll be hearing a lot about it. It won't be just us. Aaron might possibly join, but we do have some other members of the Project Nerd team joining our league. And if you're interested, definitely speak out. We can also create a public league and definitely play along with everybody. And then Tyler can brag about beating you, and then we'll lose listeners to the podcast and everything will just be all downhill from there. But anyways, Tyler doesn't look like he's denying. He's like, yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that I would just let people know that.
I'm good at this.
I mean, I'm letting you guys know because Adam, I mean, it's fantasy. It's like fantasy football. I don't know if you've ever played fantasy sports. Like trash talk is understood. Like that's what's part of the game.
But I mean, you're really good at it. And it crushes. Well, and
to be fair, the trash talk was started by Adam. Adam joined after 1 week and was like, I'm totally going to win this week. And he totally came in third.
Is that really trash talking though?
That's not trash talking. That's just good sportsmanship.
That's
fun banter.
You want to have confidence.
Okay, well, his confidence was misplaced.
All right.
It usually is, but that's okay.
A little bit trash talk.
Real quick, couple plugs, of course, before we head into our final thoughts. This week, our cosplay spotlight has started with Threelana Cosplay, who is extremely talented, awesome Fury Road.
She's a furry.
Gallery. And she's even doing some new pictures that we didn't get up for the spotlight, which is like this unicorn series, which is spreading across the web right now. But every Wednesday, you'll see a new cosplay spotlight featuring a cosplayer interviewed and everything. And then, of course, before Tyler has the chance to bring it up and me forget, Project Cosplay. Tickets are still available for Project Cosplay in Denver, February 9th through 21st, 2016. Of course, we are almost out of VIP passes. Plenty of other ones available. There is a public Facebook group where some good questions are starting to pop up. And then, of course, we have the page, which if you join, you may be one of the lucky eight to see every updates. Thank you, Facebook. So we also have a number of other things coming out. Another big announcement that I want to get to already, but I can't. Can't gotta wait till we officially get everything in line, but I'm excited.
Now you gotta say it.
No, I don't. Like I get to do that. So
don't you do it, Iggy.
Aaron,
close us out with some final thoughts. We'll start with you, Aaron.
I gotta close it.
No, we each get a final thought, but you get to start.
Okay.
But let's not take 30 minutes here.
You know what? I see your game because last time you were like, you get 30 seconds, and I'm gonna take five. I don't have any final thoughts other than I want to see a male.
Are you going to any conventions here maybe down the road? Maybe something fun to talk about here in a couple weeks?
Yeah, Rocky Mountain Con is going to be great. And so is Dragon Con, which I am dying.
I don't think Rocky Mountain Con's in a couple weeks, but a couple months. That'll be fun too.
Whatever.
All right. Adam, final thoughts.
So not only are we closing in on movie season, it's video game season, folks. The holidays, the last 4 months of the year are always a big time for video games. You got Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain coming out soon. You have the newest update and start of year 2 for Destiny, The Taken King, and then lots more stuff coming up after that. But those are a couple things to look forward to in the next 2-3 weeks here.
Brandon, our game admin, is losing his mind over Fallout 4 right now, so you'll probably see a lot from us on that game. Tyler, final thoughts?
Oh, I'm so excited about Fallout. The what do you call it? The Fallout Shelter game finally came out with Android earlier this week, and I've played a ton of it.
That'll happen.
What else? I would say, I'm trying to think, not a ton going on, new books coming out. There is a video that everyone should watch on YouTube. Filmmaker Devin Graham made a video sponsored by WB Games to promote the new Mad Max video game, and it is a basically a reimagining, reshot of the big car chase scene using go-karts, and it's fucking amazing. The war rig's like a pickup truck, and everyone else is in go-karts, and it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I'll that make you guys watch cool. it after
I saw somebody post it. We'll have to check it out. All right, so in a more serious note, I do want to touch on something this week. Of course, the cosplay community is near and dear to our hearts. It's a big, big portion of our website, and we appreciate everybody that we get to connect with and we get to share, and we love being a part of that community. But we do want to point out something that has been going around the web as it was saw them, I think, Monday night. Lenny Robison, also known as Maryland Batman, Route 29 Batman, a very charitable man, was his car broke down and he was struck by another person who passed by. Obviously not intended, no charges pressed or anything at that point, but definitely a sad thing nonetheless. And one thing I like to point out is that he definitely is that example within the cosplay community, visiting children's hospitals, sick kids, doing parties, doing all that for free and out of the kindness of his own heart. And of course he did leave behind a couple children of his own. So definitely keep your thoughts with him. And if there's any way you can to honor him, especially those cosplayers that listen to us or visit our site, we definitely recommend, you know, letting him set that example and going out and doing some of those things as well. Those kids, you know, they light up when they see superheroes enter the hospital, and you can definitely change a life. So with that, we definitely do, never met him personally, but we do appreciate everything he did for the community. But all right, so with that, we will close out the Nerdcast. Exciting episode, like I promised. I know I sombered it out a little at the end, but we delivered. I think we did a good job delivering again. Season 5.
And you're welcome.
Yeah. Anyways, so even with Aaron here, we still delivered a great episode.
But, oh, man.
Wow.
Have you finished Dune yet, Adam?
No. I am 45% through.
There you go. And no more, you guys, no more talking about Armada too. I haven't finished that yet. But other
I've almost finished 2 Neil Gaiman books.
There we go.
So which ones?
All reading.
I'm working on Neverwhere still and Nancy Boys.
I'm going to raise my hand here, guys. I'm going to close this podcast out real quick.
We're going to keep talking. You can stop
recording
your way out.
All right. Well, as we always say at the end, we'll catch you next week. Same nerd time, same nerd channel.
Woo.
Bye, everybody.
Hope you find your dad.